I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us today for another message from God's Word. This month's messages with my dad, Pastor Salem, will be a series on Joseph. Today's sermon, Joseph Triumphant Through Trials, will focus on an overview of the life of Joseph. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're just so happy to be with you today, and I just want to thank you for opening your doors or your windows or whatever you got, and so that we can come and worship together. And we're not worshiping in your house, we're worshiping at the throne of God in heaven, because we're all the body of Christ all over the world, and we're meeting in one focal point, the feet of Jesus in heaven, the glories of heaven, with the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we're worshiping together. And today we're going to be talking about Joseph. We're going to have four sermons on Joseph for the month of September. And so you just get ready for that, and we'll get into that. But before I do that, I want to read some of the letters, because we get so many nice letters, and I just want to thank you for that. And I know that you enjoy letters, and so we're going to read some of them. The first one is from Havana, Cuba, and I've written to this man and sent him some literature. Now he writes back, and this is what he said. Thanks a lot for the two booklets, God at the Center and Knowing Christ. I read the first one. However, I had to stop reading the second one on page 20, for I don't have a Bible in English in order to study and memorize the verses that are suggested in the seven lesson studies. If possible, I would like to have the Holy Bible in the English edition to begin the studies. I know it'll help me in my spiritual growth. I wish I could be considered as a member of your congregation, no matter how far we live from each other. I think our mutual compromise with Christ can make for distance closer. You can be sure my wife and I will join in your praying to the Lord here in Havana. And so there's a couple things here. First of all, we sent the Bible. Now, it cost us to send that Bible. And you know how we could do it? Because you gave gifts. And when you give gifts, you help us send literature and Bibles. You help us to send instructions to new Christians. You help us to get on our new stations. You help us. We couldn't do it without your help. And so just think about that. I'll talk about our offering in just a minute. And then the second thing is, I wish I could be considered as a member of your congregation, no matter how far we live from each other. You want to know something? All over the world, we're one congregation. It's the body of Christ. It's the invisible church. And so when we accept Jesus as our Savior, you have to accept Jesus. You have to be born again to be a part of the body of Christ. But when you ask Jesus into your heart and ask him to take away your sins and turn from your sins the best you can, oh my, right that second you're born again. You have your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're a part of the family of God. Oh, isn't that glorious? So hear this, dear brother in Havana. You betcha we're in one church and one body. Here's Hamilton, Montana. And I'll be sure to listen to this one. Hi, I just wanted to say thanks for my book you gave me. I'm starting to read it. It is good so far. It is teaching me a lot. If you want to know, I'm 8 years old, and I love God and Jesus. My Papa Glenn is also teaching me a lot about God and Jesus, too. God and Jesus are awesome. I love my book a lot. Thanks again. Love, Macy. Hope you write back soon. 8 years old and knowing about Jesus. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. I have a daughter who accepted Jesus when she was 5. She's a grandmother now, and she's walking with Jesus. So the children can understand. I preach so that the children can understand. I don't know any big words. I tried a couple of big words. They flopped, and I just thought I flop enough without trying the words, so forget it. So children can understand it. Here's Whitehall, Maryland. I received your booklet, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? I have a literature ministry at age 89. I'd love to purchase 25 copies. Please inform me of their cost. Well, isn't this wonderful? She's 89 and she's doing the Lord's work. She's having meetings about the Lord and having Bible studies. Well, we sent 25 copies and said, just send whatever you can. If you don't have anything, somebody else will make it up. See? That's because you are helping us. And then one more I want to read. Watertown, South Dakota. You've helped the Lord get many more people to get to heaven through salvation. I thank you for helping to save my husband with your message on TV. The Lord has touched his heart and made him a good and thankful man. May God bless you. Well, listen, God did it. I didn't have a thing to do with it. The only thing I had was that I preached the Bible. You could get a parrot to do that, really. I just preached the Bible, the Word of God, and then what happens? The Holy Spirit takes it, and the Holy Spirit applies it to people all over the world. And some he convicts of sin, and some he encourages them, and some he corrects them, and some he affirms them. And the Holy Spirit does all the work. And all I do is I stumble around, don't do very good. But the power of it all is in the Bible, and I can quote that, and I can't go wrong. Now, if you want to help us, and if you need anything, if you need to get this salvation book, or if you want the new song, which is a beautiful little publication we put out, it's a Bible study, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in good old Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I'll give that again at the close of the service, but I hope we can hear from you and that you'll help us in this work. But let's look at Joseph. Now, when we come to study of Joseph, you'll find there are four great patriarchs of the faith. They're Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And he is one of the spiritual fathers of the human race or the Hebrew people. From these patriarchs come the nation of Israel. And out of Israel comes the Lord Jesus Christ and the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. So we're going to spend four sermons on this man, Joseph. And he is the 11th son of Jacob. He's the first son of his beloved wife, Rachel. And I might add, he happens to be Jacob's favorite son. So first of all, then, let's see him from birth to 17 years. And here the Joseph's family is in transition. Everything is unsettled. Everything's on the move in the first 17 years. Then from years 17 to 30, Joseph reaches manhood. But his life seems out of control because he's sold into slavery into Egypt. He has false accusations put against him. He's put in prison. He's having a terrible time from 17 to 30 years. And then from 30 years until his death lasted 80 years, he had blessing and prosperity. He had the chance to get even with his brothers, but instead he blessed them and protected them and helped them. And so in our study today, we're thinking about Joseph between 17 and 30. Now, Joseph, as I say, was his father's favorite, no question about it. Genesis 37, verse 3 says, "Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children." Now, there's several reasons for that. For one reason was he was a son of his old age, child of his old age. And Jacob showed this, demonstrated that favoritism by giving him that famous coat of many colors. When I was a child, my mother always read us a Bible story every night and gave us a kiss. And that Bible story book had Joseph and he had a shirt, and a colored shirt, and it sure was pretty. But some have called it a banquet of colors. And it was a very expensive garment, and it was a long garment. It was more like a tunic, and it was this garment that the king's sons wore, and it showed favoritism. It showed power and might and one going to the throne. It meant eventually that person is going to be, he's going to be the leader of the nation, leader of his people, leader of the nation. And so when he put that joke coat of many colors on it, believe me, the whole world could see it. And then Joseph was also Jacob's favorite because he was the one of his son of his favorite wife. Joseph constantly reminded him of his beloved Rachel, who was now dead. Every time Jacob laid his eyes on that boy, he saw Rachel, And his love for Rachel seemed to grow, and he saw it in his son. And so Joseph was very special to him. And let's look at Jacob. Let's look at Rachel for just a minute, because it's worth looking at. Jacob first laid his eyes on Rachel when he was a vagabond fleeing from Esau. You remember, Joseph had cheated Esau out of his birthright, and so, Jacob had cheated Esau out of his birthright, and Esau's going to kill him. And so his mother says, you flee to your uncle Laban over in Mesopotamia. And so that's what he did. He ran away from home, went to Mesopotamia. And on his way, he had that dream with the ladder going from heaven to earth, a vision that he never forgot. And in that vision, God's promised that he said he would be with him wherever he went, and he promised him that I'll bring you back home someday. And so there's a man, and he's loving the Lord, and he's trusting God, and then he travels, and so he's walking with God, and he's a favorite, and that's never a good thing. And so pretty soon, we have a time when the men have to take the sheep out to farther for pasture. And so they live at Hebron. And so he has to go out into the field and work for this man and go into the work and travel. And he goes to find his brothers and he can't find them. And he finally says, well, then you're not here, but you can go on. And they went to Dothan, and that was and he'd already gone 40 miles to Shechem. Now he has to go more to Dothan. He makes a long trip to find his brothers. And that's the kind of a man Joseph was. He was a man that was when Jacob looked at that boy, he loved him and trusted him and gave him that beautiful coat. And you know, when you think about the marriage of Joseph, then Jacob, he comes to Rachel, and when he sees Rachel, he falls in love with her. And he stops at a well, and she brings his father's sheep to water at the well. And then Jacob falls in love with her so much that he just says, oh, I have to go and I have to see your father. And he went to the father and he says, I love Rachel. I want Rachel so badly. I would love to marry her. And Laban, he's a wheeler dealer. And so he tells Jacob, now I'll tell you what you do. You work 7 years and you can have her for your wife. And so he worked 7 years, and it says that it says in Genesis 29. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. And that's the way life is. If you're in love, if you're happy, time goes right by. If you hate and you despise and you're always at war, things drag. And so we need to forgive and be loving people. And so he works 7 years for Rachel. And then they have the wedding. And when he lifts up the gown, her veil the next morning, lo and behold, he is married to Leah, cross-eyed Leah. And he's angry about that. And he goes to Laban. And Jacob is angry. He's worked for Rachel. And now he's got a different woman for a wife. And Laban says, well, I'm sorry. We had to do that because Leah is the oldest, and the oldest has to get married first. So if you want Rachel, you got to work another 7 years. And he did. So you see the great love he had for this boy, now had for Rachel, and that all that love he had for that boy. And so now this boy is going, and he's going out into the field, and he's going to do this, make this trip as his father's asked him to do. And he's going to find his brothers, his 10 brothers who are tending sheep. And he travels and he travels. And finally, he finds it out and he sees these men. And they see him coming. And as he is coming along, their brothers, the minute they see him, they know that he is their father's favorite. And boy, they hate that, because that father, you don't like people if they're favorites. And we know they hated him because, for one thing, it tells us in Genesis that Joseph tattled on his brothers. And who likes a tattletale? And then he showed his favoritism. Like, have you ever heard of school about teacher's pet? Well, sometimes teachers have favorites. And that's too bad, and that's not right. And so these brothers Oh my, when they see him coming, they can see that coat a mile away. And they see this person coming and this coat in the breeze, this tunic, this beautiful coat. And before long, they know exactly who it is. It's Joseph with the coat of many colors. And they hate him to the core. In Genesis 37, we're told, now when they saw him afar off, they, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. They referred to him in derision as the dreamer. And so that's what he was. He was a dreamer because he told dreams that he had. And one of his dreams, he dreamed that his brothers would all bow down before him. And then he had another dream, and where the parents bowed down before him. And so when he told his brothers that they're going to bow down to him someday, that cut them to the quick. And when they said that the parents, because this is the Middle East, and the parents never bowed down to the children. When the prodigal son came home, the father ran to meet him. They never did that in the Middle East. That boy came to his father. His father didn't come to the boy. And so when he said, Joseph says in his dream, the parents are going to bow down to him, they hated him as he could. And so they decided that, well, they're going to do away with him. And they decided that they're going to put him to death. And so what they're going, how they're going to do that, they can't come to, as he comes closer, they have all, they're going to work out. And so we're told in the scriptures that they planned that they're going to put him to death. And there was one Reuben, a boy, one of the boys' name was Reuben. And he didn't have the heart to have this boy put to death. He couldn't stand the thought of it. And so he said, well, let's just put him in the cistern for a while. And then maybe we'll just keep him for a while. Let's think about it. And they put him in the cistern. And Joseph Reuben in his thoughts thought, I'm going to come when the boys aren't around and I'm going to let him loose. I'm going to let the boy go. I don't want him to be killed. But Reuben is out in the field working with the sheep. And while he's there, here comes a group of people, a caravan of Ishmaelites. And they're traveling on the way to Egypt. And the boys say to the people of the Ishmaelites, oh, let's do this. Let's sell him as a slave and we'll get some money. And that's what they did for the price of 20 pieces of silver. That's 10 pieces less than what they paid for Jesus when they betrayed him. 20 pieces of silver, they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites, you know what they would do? They would take him and they would rope him, tie him on the back of a camel. They would tie him hand and foot because they didn't want him to run away. They want to save him and they want to sell him in Egypt and get some money. And that's what they did. And that's so David, poor Joseph, is traveling along. And then he's gone, then the boys go back to their father. They bring the tunic and they've taken a goat or a sheep and they've killed it and they put blood on that tunic. And then they come to their father and they ask him, we have found this, and they show him the tunic, the bloody tunic. They have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it, and he said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. But without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Jacob is heartbroken, and he cries out in Genesis 37, I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Jacob had lost Rachel, he had lost Joseph, and he wanted to die. My friends, there are times in life like that when maybe we just feel like we want to give up and we lost the nearest to ours. We loved or lost the one that was closest to us in our heart and our soul, and we just feel like we want to die. But there'll be another day because God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. I'm 95, and the plan has got to come to an end someday. But when it comes, I do not know, and I'll just be at his feet serving him as best I can. And so with his things, this happens, and he just wants to die. And so if that happens to you, just think of this. There is a God, and he'll take care of you and he'll help you. And so then the Midianites take Joseph to the slave market. They come from everywhere, north, south, east, and west. And among them is buyers is the captain of Pharaoh's royal guard. His name is Potiphar. And he looks them all over and he picks Joseph. And Joseph becomes a slave in the house of Potiphar. And look at Joseph. He's just a boy, 17 or 18 years old. He doesn't cry because of his fate. He doesn't have a pity party for himself. He doesn't question God. He doesn't say, God, why are you doing this to me? He doesn't rail at God. Oh, he's a better cloth than that. Joseph is going to make the best of the situation. He's going to do his best. He's going to be optimistic. He's going to shine for God no matter what. So take heart. My friends, maybe some of you are having troubles and trials today. Maybe you've met with some bitter disappointment. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you're sick in bed. Maybe you're at your wit's end. Then take a cue from Joseph. Though all was against him, though he was a slave in a foreign land, though he feels like he'll never, ever see his father again, though he feels that all is lost, he still has God, and that's all he needs. And today we have the very same God that Joseph had, and we take refuge and strength in him. So I ask the question, do you have God? Do you know what I'm talking about? By that I mean, do you know personally Jesus Christ? You said, no, I don't have God. I know I don't have God in my life. I didn't think he'd ever come into my heart. I'm so black with sin. I've done so many terrible things. And it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter. You say, I sinned against light. That's what I hear the most. I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. You just come to Jesus. And if you want to have God, you have to have Jesus. See, you remember in John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying it isn't enough to believe in God. You have to have Jesus. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God, the Father, but by me. And so we come to God through Jesus. And that's what he's saying today. I don't care if you've drifted away. I don't care if you've never, ever have accepted me and you've sinned all your life. I don't care if you're in old age. And I might say not many old people come to the Lord, but some do, and you could be one of them. But you young people with a tender heart, you can say, oh, I'm sorry for my sins, and I want Jesus. I want God in my life. Then this is how you get God in your life. You come to God. You come to God in prayer, and you pray to Jesus, and you don't know any thee, and you don't know thou, and you don't know all how to talk to God. You talk to him just as you would a friend who loves you. And you say, dear Jesus, and you say it right now as I say it. Just pray it with me. Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best way I can. And then thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then tell somebody. You know, I prayed with a man not long ago. He prayed that prayer. And he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. And after he got done with the prayer, he said, goodbye. Why not? That's fine with God. He's looking at the heart, and he knows. And if you really love Jesus, you're trusting Jesus. You said, well, I don't feel anything. You may not feel anything because it's a covenant you're making. You're making a contract, and you may have feelings of joy, and you may not. But as you walk with the Lord, you'll get that peace of heart. I've been walking with Jesus 85 years. And I haven't had any great big strong feelings, but I have that feeling in my heart that Jesus is there and I belong to him. He'll give you that assurance. And you know, in John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is, shall not go to hell, but is passed from death to life. You go to heaven. John 5, verse 24. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us, and we'll send you literature and help you get started on the way. If you have questions, you write to us. If you want to help us with the work, because we have to have your, we have to have payments just like anybody. We pay our way like anybody else. And if we don't get your help, we can't carry on. And you say, well, what if I send money to you and you spend it on a big car, fancy car? Well, listen, we all check that out. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, audits our books, not only what we get, but how we spend it. And so it's safe. You write to us. Let us know. We've got it on the screen there. You be sure to write to us. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who accepted you. And Lord, I want to pray today for those who do know you, but like Joseph, they're going through some hard times. They don't know which way to turn. Their heart is aching and heart is breaking. And maybe they're just like Jacob. Oh God, he lost Joseph and he lost Rachel, but he didn't lose God. And so bless them and strengthen them and help them to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. And as a father pitieth his children, so you pitieth them that fear him. And you just lean on Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria, those who are under the gun, those who are losing their life, those who are losing their home and their children and their loved ones. Oh, strengthen them, oh God, and bring as soon as you can. Come and take us out of this terrible world with all of its sin and wickedness. And yet maybe we should wait a little. Maybe somebody else will be saved before the last door is closed and there's no more salvation. So we just put everything in your hands. We pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And bless those people and bless the shut-ins. And bless those on beds of sickness and those who need help. Just help them to know that you're with them and you'll always be with them. And dear Lord, we just thank you and praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank all of you for being with us. God loves you. We love you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're going to all this work. Trust Jesus. Love Jesus. Write us a letter. See you next week. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.